What is going down, everybody? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 148. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's been some craziness going down in this hobby. We're going to talk about some early baseball favorites and their cards going up. We're going to review Chronicles basketball, the bad, the good, the ugly. We're going to talk about Mark Wahlberg. We're going to talk about Wahlburgers, maybe. And we're also going to have, C-Rad's going to have an update of the NBA bubble and how it applies to some of the cards out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on our Instagram, mojobreak_com. Also, we have started a brand new YouTube channel called Mojo Break Media, where you can find all of our content and not have to navigate through, you know, millions of breaks to find the weekly show that we do. Me and Cody just filmed the Mojo Dugout sessions for Monday, so find that on the Mojo Break Media channel. We got a lot of stuff going down this week. Topps Chrome comes out Friday, so checklist is out. People are going crazy. White Sox, Mariners, bunch of stuff going down. And then Gold Standard Football also releases Friday. So get your spots at mojobreak.com. C-Rad, what's going down, dude?
What's up, everybody? Hope everybody's doing well, staying safe. I'm enjoying the NBA being back. It's been beautiful. I've missed it so. I'm never going to take it for granted ever again. NBA, I love you.
Dan, do you love the NBA as much as C-Rad does?
I'm going to be honest. I have not watched one game yet.
Oh, man.
But.
Loser.
Well, I've been in baseball mode. Been very excited for baseball to be back. I mean, how do you watch everything? I mean, yeah. How do you watch every baseball game and every basketball game and every NASCAR race?
Well, for me, it's actually been really nice that they're actually in Florida because I'm actually able to watch the early games now. Because usually the early games will be when I would start my breaks, you know, in the evening times. But now I can watch like a couple of early games every single day, which is like super nice. And then, you know, like obviously I'll miss the primetime games, but I can just, when I get off, I just go home and then watch those afterwards.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to really jump into basketball.
Playoff
time. Yeah. I mean, again, like, if the Warriors
were... Finals, game seven?
Game seven of the finals is when I'm going to get my popcorn ready. That's when I'm going to sit down and be like, and whoever's in it, I'm going to... It'll be LeBron James. I'll be like, I love LeBron James.
Yeah. So,
But, I mean, it's... I'll get into it. It's hard because I've been so used to the Warriors, and when your team's not in it, unless you're a huge basketball fan, it's hard to like really.
I don't know. I'm in the same boat as C-Rad where I was just missing sports. You know, we're jumping on the feet talking to you guys. There hasn't been sports for 3 months. I'm trying to digest it all. I'm actually watching more basketball than I am baseball. But speaking of baseball, perfect segue. Dan's, you know, getting his popcorn. We got to talk some Cracker Jacks. We got to talk about baseball. We got to talk about two guys that are already being impacted by this early season. And the first is Kyle Lewis. Absolutely in fuego, 18 hits, leading the league at this point. He's got rookie cards this year, and he has his first Bowman in 2016 Bowman Draft, which is actually a really, really star-studded class of players in Bowman Draft. You got Pete Alonso. You got Dylan Carlson. You've got a ton of guys in that 2016 Draft. I don't even know what boxes are at, but if you're looking for Kyle Lewis's first card, it's going to be in 2016 Bowman Draft. That's his first Bowman. So, and as you can see with some early sales – it's already doubled since May. So May, you can see a 9.5 Kyle Lewis sold for $58 recently, 122 as a raw. So you're talking about a graded to a raw. So I'm saying 9.5, 10 is probably a $200 card. So if this guy keeps lighting it up, it's going to be a guy that some of the people that collect other players are going to start pivoting to because the guy is quick. He's likable. And I think Seattle's been craving for a star since Ichiro and Griffey. There really hasn't been anybody that's kind of stood out for Seattle. So what do you guys think in the chat about Kyle Lewis? Are you selling or are you buying? My next guy, are you a believer? Shane Justin Bieber. I almost wanted to say, you know, baby, but I didn't. It's Shane Bieber, and he's lighting up the league, throwing strikeouts at a high clip. Almost every other batter he's striking out. And believe it or not, you guys say pitchers don't sell in baseball, but you know, you back in June, you had a $50 first Bowman, and recently you have a first Bowman raw that sold for $120, so already doubled. So for you guys out there that say you can't make money on pitchers, well, Shane will make you a believer. So check it out. But to kind of run down some more baseball prospects, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. This just came out from MLB.com yesterday, the latest top 10 top 10 baseball prospects. And you guys can see that here. Is anybody stand out on this list, Dan, this top 10 baseball prospects?
Torkelson was the first overall pick last year, but, I mean, he's super young. Not really. No, I mean, all those guys are kind of either expected to be household names or are in the prospect game are already household names.
Mm-hmm.
Franco Lux, Louie Bobby, Rushman, Mackenzie Gore.
I know that's a Padres. Crazy one. Yeah.
That one's kind of, but he was one of the top picks in his year as well, his draft year. Mm-hmm. I think he was if he wasn't top three, he was definitely like in the top 10.
Yep.
But Joe Adell just got called up. Get ready for that.
I believe went 1-for-4 yesterday. 1-for-4.
I think he had a single. He's the real deal. I mean, he's one of those blue chip guys. I think we're going to look at Joe Adell and he's going to be an all-star pretty much every year. And maybe he's the guy who puts the Angels over that hump.
Yep, I agree. What's interesting here is you got the Tigers have 7 and 8, and both those guys are first overall picks with Spencer Torkelson and Casey Mize. I'm surprised that Spencer Torkelson made the list so early. For me, I like to see a little bit more from a guy before he cracks into the top 10. I know guys get in the top 100 very easily, but top 10 should be more coveted than this to me, to just throw a guy in there. I mean, you don't even see Joey Bart on this list, so you're saying a guy that's, you know, just came out of the draft, first overall pick, and no doubt he's talented, makes the list. It's kind of questionable for me, but that makes, when he comes out, whether he's going to be in draft this year or he's going to be held out for 2021 Bowman, this list tell you the hype's going to be there for Spencer Torkelson.
Well, Torkelson was unbelievable in college.
Yeah.
He was, was he Oregon State?
Is he a Beav? I don't know.
Am I thinking Rushman?
Cody, do we know? Do we know what college he went to? We've got the Google thing. We got the Google machine going on.
I mean, if it's Oregon State, then I mean, you know.
Yeah, he was probably mentored by the great Sean Mannion.
The great Sean Mannion. But I mean, he was the first overall pick, correct?
ASU.
ASU?
Wow. Interesting.
Ah, well, next Barry Bonds.
Yeah. And he plays the corners, so third base and first base. So, but you can pick up, he does have autos out there already. He has USA autos and Panini products. So I think I was kind of doing some research and they're going for around 40 to 50 bucks. So it might be a situation that you can kind of pick them up now before the Bowman comes out and the hype builds for the Bowman where people are waiting for Bowman and they're like, wait, maybe I can pick up a Torkelson auto from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a definite situation. Well, let's transition into basketball. We've got Chronicles. It's the topic of all NBA collectors released last Wednesday. There's been a lot of hate on it. There's been a lot of positive about it. There's been mixed feelings about this box because it is a $1,200 box with two autos. I mean, shouldn't be too surprising to NBA collectors because of the world we're living in with the NBA, with Zion, with Ja, with LeBron cards. Let's start with C-Red. What's your initial thoughts on Chronicles? You've probably busted more than any of us.
I actually really like the product. That's coming from somebody who like loved last year's product a lot. I will say, for me, like I don't have very many gripes about it. The auto designs last year were better, arguably, than this year's. But in terms of the being able to see the different rookies and different designs, I still like it just as much as I did last year. So yeah, good product. And if for me, like, I know a lot of people were blown away, right, last week when Panini sold them for $890 or $900 or whatever it was. I know people were blown away, but if you've been paying attention to this hobby and you knew, and you really seen a lot of last year's Chronicles and how it kind of like it came out at a low, very low price, right? Like it was like $150 at first, but it quickly went up last year's Chronicles, like not to the point of $900 a box, but it was one of the products last year that it was one of the quickest. Jumping prices I've seen in any of the products last year. So for me, I already knew that this wave was coming, this storm was coming, that the product was going to go up insane. So I'm not surprised in that aspect. But yeah, for me, the product is good. I enjoy opening it. And for me, the only downfall, like I said, is the auto designs.
Dan, I have a feeling that your point of view may be a little bit different from C-Rad. Let's get off your lawn and see what happens.
Oh, well, you just set it up. So because of that, I agree with C-Rad. It's the greatest product ever. It's worth every dime of $11.50. no, it is what it is. I mean, it was meant to be a $120 product.
Yeah.
And we're at the mercy of the rookie class. We're at the mercy of the hype. And that's why it goes through the roof. But when you break it, we break a lot of products. I don't get very excited about it. There's no design in there that I really look at and go, wow, this is blowing me away. Mm-hmm. If anything, I think it's kind of a boring rip. And that is just me personally. I understand that it is an insane amount of value in there. The numbered rookies go for an insane amount. Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised. I think it's going to cool down a little bit. I don't think every Zion card is going to be a minimum of like $50, $7,500. Mm-hmm. I don't think every Jaw is going to be, you know, $40, $50, $60. The number cards, I think, are going to hold value, but you're getting so... I feel like when I'm ripping that product, I'm literally just saying 10 to 12 guys over and over and over. It's like Giannis, Luka, Rui, Ja, Zion, LeBron James. That, like, you're literally just saying those, like, guys over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a very exciting rip for me.
Yeah, what do you think, Doug? I have mixed feelings on it. I feel like it is too expensive, but I mean, we don't have enough data yet. I mean, I've got some slides coming up here of some of the early eBay listings. I got some sales, but there's not enough data on it to see if we're going to have to probably revisit it in that aspect. I mean, if these cards, these individual rookie cards are selling for $100 to $200, then okay, maybe it's worth $1,100. But I just don't see it yet. I think it's just too much for me. Like we were talking about off air, I would rather have regular Chronicles base and then one insert every pack or an auto. So let's just say there was six packs. And it was Chronicles base, Chronicles base, Chronicles base. Then an insert, whether it be a Gala, a Flux, a Luminance, and then two more base cards. And then the next pack would be base card, base card, base card. And then maybe an auto, and then base card, base card, base card. So that I feel like it would kind of make it more valuable when you get to that middle. Because right now you're just like, Flux. And you're like, as a breaker, you kind of don't really know, like, is the Flux – I mean, we know maybe a little bit more now, but is the Flux going to be the one people want? We know the Gala is what people want, but we're not getting those because they're numbered to 8. so it's like, you know, it's just like too much sensory going on.
There's too much going on. It's actually, from a breaker standpoint, it's a tough rip. It's a tough rip to, like, get in the groove of breaking each pack because a lot of the cards are, you know, upside down. Like, you're always, like, flipping through it, and it's a tough rip to get momentum going.
Yeah, I will say, you know, what you were saying, Doug, about the mostly base Chronicles, we actually got that in 17-18.
Yes.
And it was a terrible product.
Yeah, but they didn't do
that. Yeah, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. The problem with the 17-18 Chronicles is that there was no variation in the auto designs, which Chronicles, if you know from a baseball standpoint, that was the appeal, that you would be able to get autographs and not just base, but autographs in different designs. In 17-18, when they first introduced Chronicles to basketball, it was the same base Chronicle auto design every single time. So 18-19 last year, they finally, you know, I feel like the reason why 18-19 auto designs were stronger was because a lot of those auto designs that they put in 18-19 Chronicles, for 1920, they made their own standalone products.
Right,
Like Origins, you know what I mean? So I definitely hear where you guys are coming from. For me, I do enjoy ripping it a lot.
To me, it feels like when you're ripping it, it's like all the reject designs.
It is all the reject designs, but it's also the designs that they wouldn't normally put products. But that's the idea of Chronicles from the beginning.
I also feel that like not every product can make that jump to another category. Like
that's why you put them all in one product.
I know, but like we don't need a Luminance a Luminance job basketball card.
But we do.
But we don't. We go to the
slide. We can go to the slide. These are steadily selling for $600. I don't know if it has to do with as much of the design. I agree with you. I don't think we need the Luminance design, but the photo they used of jaw posterizing Kevin Love. A lot of people don't like Kevin Love as it is, so I think it was perfect. And I think people are buying it based on the image. Maybe not so much that it's luminance, but you know, as you can see, there's one that's going for somebody that's trying to get $1,800 for a base one. There was another one I think he just had up there that was actually sold. It was numbered to 99, sold for $1,300.
Mm-hmm.
So luminance jaw. What do you think, Dan, knowing now what you said about luminance, that that's what that's selling?
No, it's a cool photo. We don't need that. We don't need that subset. I don't, we don't actually need Chronicles in general.
I mean, we don't need a lot of things, but
I know. We should pump the brakes.
Dan would like four releases on the year.
That'd be great.
But back to your original point, Dan, what you were saying about how like you getting the same guys. You know, the market and the current climate and market that we're in, this is kind of like the perfect storm for Panini, this specific product. Because this whole year, like for the past couple years, actually, we've been transitioning to this, to basketball wise, transitioning to this point where the hobby is about the base cards, right? And where we've been conditioned to think that the base card is the most sought after card in basketball now. So you got a product that gives you a whole bunch of different designs and base cards. It's like, you know, people are going crazy.
I get that. That's a very slippery slope right there.
Yeah.
That's how you get into the junk wax era.
Yeah. Because the autos really, I mean, I don't like any of the autos designs really. But for me, the base cards make up for it. From the beginning when I saw Flux, I was a big fan of Flux. And I knew that the Silver Prism of Flux were going to go for a crazy amount. Obviously, this card, I actually loved Luminance in last year's Chronicles design, so I felt like it was perfect for basketball too.
I like the Phoenix.
The Phoenix design.
I like, nice. You know, I mean, I know I'm supposed to hate everything, but I do like
Phoenix is a nice clean design.
I do like the Phoenix design. Now, I get terrified when I say that because I'm like, are we going to get Phoenix basketball next year?
We might.
I don't want to say I like anything because I don't want it to be a standalone product next
year. So you believe Panini's just listening exactly what you said. Like
I don't have a Panini shirt on.
They're in the boardroom. They stopped what they're doing. They know the hype was at 305.
When I'm talking, when it's me, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They pipe me into the office right now.
Oh, okay.
They mute you guys and they just have me piped in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're making decisions for them then.
No, why don't we get enough ideas? And they're just like, damn, Dan, you're right. That's what they're all saying.
Well, tell us who like pays for those ideas, because I don't think we're getting it.
No, I give out this knowledge for free. Oh, okay. I
for
do
the hobby.
For the hobby, for the community, nice. Mostly.
Nice. Well, you guys threw around that word junk wax era, and I was having a conversation on the feed yesterday. And one of my points about all of this, you know, you see it on Twitter, if you're following social media, if you're following channels that talk about cards, and everybody's like, are we headed for a junk wax era? Is it 2.0? Is it junk wax era 2.0? One of the things that kind of hit me was the junk wax era in the 80s and 90s, we were talking about people that own $10, $15, $20 cards. Right now, you're talking about people that own $20, $30, $40, $50, $100,000 cards. Those people are not just going to be like, yeah, I spent $300,000, so I'm just going to go away. Yeah. I'm done. It's protected in that sense where the investment is a lot larger on certain cards that you're not going to see. Yeah, there may be some guy, there may be, you know, a lot of people that do go away. They're tired of the pricing. They're tired of redemptions. They're tired of, you know, buying their team for more and more every month. Those people may go away, but I think at the end, the essence of everything, the backbone of this hobby, the investors, the guys that have bought cards that they're going to hold on to, they're not going to go away. They have too much invested. It's kind of like if you buy a car. And you know at the end of the day that your car sucks, but you're in a five-year lease. You're not going to tell people that your card sucks because you're invested in it. So
your card or car?
I was comparing it to an automobile. So car. Like say you buy an automobile and you're showing it off to your friends. Derek Carr. You're showing your automobile. I should say that because car is too close to card. You're showing it off to your friends and you're like, at the end of the day, you're like, man, this thing's a piece of crap. The radio doesn't work. You know that in your head, but you're not going to go out and tell people.
You want to take over my lease?
Yeah, exactly. So you want to take over my Zion Williamson lease? No, you're going to be like, that's my dude.
I think you're right with back in the day when you had like $20 rookie cards and $15 rookie cards. It's easier for those to basically take a bath on those
and walk away.
Yeah. But if you went out and you spent $25,000 on a basketball card, that card to you is always going to be worth $25,000. Yeah. And you're not going to take a dime less.
Yeah. Right. Or even to a lesser extent, like a 4,000 base Anthony Davis rookie card. You know what I mean? That's like still a lot of money to a lot of people.
$4,000 for an Anthony Davis Prism rookie card?
Yeah.
Not even a silver, right?
No, not even silver. PSA 10.
Right. So you have several.
So what's a silver? Five grand, 10 grand?
Yeah, it's up there.
It's insane. We should probably watch our 12, 13 Prism break.
No, we shouldn't.
We should be like, just how many guys that we went over there were thousands of dollars now, how many silvers we did. Silvers wasn't a thing in 12, 13, believe me. So
I'm actually surprised people, well, they don't want to sit through a Prism break that's 2.5 hours.
Right.
They're just they're going to look at that and go, 2.5 hours, what are you guys doing? They just like leave the recording on and just let did they just like bounce for the day or...
That actually reminds me back to what you said to Dan about how, like, you know, you're getting the same guys over, like Giannis, like the big name guys, right? I mean, opposite that, when we open up any other product, when we're getting base cards of guys that people really don't care about, you know, it has the opposite effect with Chronicles, where it's like people get excited because it's like, okay, these are the names that I want.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
There's that aspect as well.
And I mean, Chronicles is a prime example. It's not going to help the great top load shortage of 2020.
Oh yeah,
when
it's like an era. It's a real thing.
No, it's the great top load shortage of 2020. Yeah. Like we're going through hundreds of top loaders in every case of Chronicles.
Yeah.
Because we're top loading every LeBron and we're top loading every Luka and we're top loading every Ja. I mean, I'm not. You'll pull like 7 or 8. Jaws or Zion's base cards in a box.
Yep. So you're saying we're not being very equal friendly?
No. I mean, we're probably going to go bankrupt. If they come out with like multiple Chronicle products, we're just going to have to buy top loaders on the open market for like $30 for a pack of 10.
30 for one.
Yeah.
Top loader.
30 for one top
loader. We go straight to the source and just make it ourselves?
Make your own top loaders?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's possible.
It says C-Rad 6.5.
Sorry. What was it? The BCW. Companies? BCW and the other one?
I never heard of that person I said I never heard of. Never heard of that one.
BCW? Never heard of them?
Nope.
Well, I had some quick cards. I think I don't know if we already went through them on the slides, but there was one John Morant, like I said, that has the BSG grading. I want to know if anybody's ever heard of BSG grading. It actually has a number. It looks like they've graded 200 million cards, but I doubt that. But if you're naming your company, why would you have BS in the name? To me, that seems like the grades are BS. So BS grading, I don't know what the B and the S stand for in this company, but you know, did you get a BS grade on that card? I mean, are you BSing your way and selling that?
I think they wanted to get as close to Beckett's acronym as close as possible.
All right, so we got to start an SBG, maybe?
I mean, I'll tell you one thing. BSG is not as legit as Conrad Grading Service.
You're right. You're going to get 6.5 guaranteed.
Your math is a little bit off on that number.
I tried to do it real quick.
I think it'd be 2 million and not 200 million. But I mean,
I need to get my eyes checked.
Whatever. I mean, give or take 198 million.
I was really trying to, you know, blow it up to where it looks like they've done so much. Grading,
I couldn't see it either. I get how you missed it, but I looked at it. And I'm like, man, we're gonna get blasted.
Like, this guy can't even see. How can he break cards? Jesus. And then there was LeBron James Crusade that sold for 174. So it's a number to 149 Crusade.
My second favorite design from Chronicles.
Once again, a 17 year card of LeBron James selling for more money than anyone could imagine. And then you have I see Rad's been watching this one, I'm sure.
I already put a bid in.
Gala, 4 of 8, which is great numbering. Brandon Clark for $1,499. Is that why you just click buy it now, bro?
It's a big deal. No, don't do it. $1,500.
The only reason I haven't bought it now, like just the full price, is because I saw a comp. Because
you're not crazy?
Yeah. And I saw a comp of our rookie, the Warriors rookie, Pascal, for like $400. So I was like, I'm not going to. They're like around the same, like, you know, like level in terms of tiers of rookies.
I think if you really wanted that card, I think $500
is
fair.
Exactly. Yeah.
I offered $500. But that's where we're at right now. Like the market is not a little crazy. It's kind of.
It's very crazy.
I was going to say bat.
Bat is crazy.
It's bat S crazy.
Yeah.
Because $1,500. go back to the beginning of the year with Prism. How many silver rookies can you get at Brandon Clark?
A lot.
For $1,500.
None. I thought you were saying.
No, you can get a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
You can get a lot.
A lot. Probably like 200 copies.
Yeah, but there's not eight silvers.
But doesn't that tell you how crazy it's gotten in like a span of 6 months?
Yeah.
But eight copies.
And you keep on saying eight copies, that's but it. He could have got 200
silver prisms.
Silver prisms, the best rookie you can get.
But there may be 2 million of those printed.
Yeah.
You don't know.
But you look at the other players, the marquee players of their silver prism.
Right.
You could have 200 of those. You could be just.
But like we talked about in the last show, you just can't walk. You could walk into the club with your Brandon Clark.
No, because you go like that. You only got one.
Yeah, but it's like dropping a milli bill.
They don't
make. Yeah, another comp that I saw was because I was following the Logo Man, the NT Logo Man, and the NT Logo Man number to 5 sold for like $1,200. So I was like, I can't pay more than a Logo Man, right, for a gala. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. All right. Well, I don't always have time to go on the interwebs and go on social media, but when I do, I make sure I get my trolling in. So this is going to be the next segment, trolling on the internet. We're done. All right. So I jumped in, and this was actually regarding our Instagram post. If you haven't watched the break video yet, all these cards were out of one box. I happened to be here as a Jeopardy champion. I was here watching C-Rad break this. And he was yelling, John, and then Doug. And so I'm like, what is he talking about? And he had already pulled 3 John Morants. You could see him in the background. 3. This was out of one box. One box Chronicles. You're only supposed to have 2 autos. So we had 6 autos in this Chronicle box. So it was 3 John Morants, 1 John Morant patch auto. So that's 4 John Morants and a Zion patch auto out of 25. What PYT was that? PYT 3?
3.
So PYT 3, if you want to watch it on YouTube, you can watch the whole break. There was also a black Anthony Davis 1-of-1.
3 black prisms.
3 black prism 1-of-1s in there too?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So you got to check out this break. It's the craziest break ever. So we posted it on this on Instagram, right? You know, of course, you know, we're proud. We got lucky. We got one of the crazy boxes. And, you know, we had some negativity. You know, that's what the internet's about, being negative. So I'll read you what Mr. Dickie Delberto wrote to me, or wrote to Mojo Break. I don't know if it was me specifically. It could be. He might hate my face. But he's like, joke, .. So there, you remember, joke, and then you got
a
pause.
We've already talked about the
dots.
We've
already established
that. We've already talked about it. Load the dots.
Load the boxes for case breakers. Opened my box Friday. Only got 1 auto and 2 packs and had 7 cards. Yes, you heard that right. 7 cards. Opened in front of the shop owner, Hall of Fame Sports New York, Tom Knapp. That must be his guy, too. At Panini America. And so basically, he's like, sad to see these breakers are loaded for case breakers when the brick and mortar shops have supported them before these breakers were in diapers. $900, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, you know what? Here's me in diapers. So I want to give a shout out to Hall of Fame Sports New York for taking care of me while I was in diapers before I started case break. So I do appreciate it. And thanks for the Willie Stargell 82 card that I probably had in my mouth when I was 3 months old and that probably went in some bike spokes. Thank you for allowing me to open up Chronicles Basketball, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. You know, so every time I crapped in my diaper, I thought of you, Hall of Fame Sports New York, and you, Dickie Delberto. So I responded, you know, because I like to, you know, every once in a while I like to troll, but I troll respectfully and I present facts. So I was basically like, based on that, why should anyone buy from a shop then? Less autos compared to case breakers cases. And he's all, so true. So you agree, cases for the case breakers run hotter. At Phil Hughes. So Phil Hughes may have seen this, the former New York Yankee. I see some of the stiff Phil hits, and it's insane. It should be stuff, but probably autocorrect. And so I responded with that, and I said basically, frankly, yep, case breakers are definitely hotter.
In appearance. Yeah.
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 Now you know. So it went on a little bit more, and you know, it was fun on the internet, and you know, it feels good. You get trolled so many times, and then every once in a while you gotta troll back. And you know, tell them what's up, and you know, I just hate the woe is me attitude. So, you know, you got to put a face to the post, and you got to get out there, and you got to get the blood pumping a little bit. So then after that, we had the Mark Wahlberg situation, right, which was crazy. You got Mark Wahlberg. You got Dirk Diggler. You got whatever his name is on his other movies. The guy from that has the stuffed teddy bear. What's that movie called?
Ted.
Ted. I love that movie. Ted. I mean, you've got
Mark Wahlberg's huge character wasn't named Ted in that movie.
It was Ted. His name was Ted.
His name wasn't Ted.
But you have his sons opening up Panini Chronicles now. So you have Mark Wahlberg videoing his kids opening up Chronicles and Elite and posting it out on Instagram and giving Panini a shout. And then you just have more hatred spewing out of people's mouths, just like diarrhea, just coming out of people's mouths. So you got this guy on Twitter that I didn't put his name on there. So he's like, so dot, 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 dot. So it was like, bro. So.
No, he's just
thinking.
Most people can't find product on the shelves or can afford the same markup on the secondary market. But at Panini America sends the crazy rich movie star a ton of product, probably free, for a shout out. Way to look for the real hobbyists. Okay. So
tons all capitalized.
Ton. Oh, yeah. Wait. Sends a crazy rich movie star a ton of product, probably free, for a shout out. Way to look for the real hobbyist. Now, what is that emoji? The look it up. Is that like a rolling of the eyes emoji?
Rolling of the eyes.
Rolling of the eyes emoji.
Rolling my eyes.
Okay. So I jumped in there and I was like, basically, so if you had a business and someone with 15.6 million social media followers was interested in your business, wouldn't you send them promotional items to promote your business to their 15 million followers? That's all I was saying. And I got crickets. I got crickets. I got no response. And then another gentleman said, they didn't need help selling Chronicles basketball, though, and we both know that. If anything, they should have sent them baseball products, considering the lack of market due to lack of licensing. And this is coming from a baseball-only collector that loves Panini products. They didn't want to break Optic. They wanted to break Chronicles. So why would you send somebody that has 15 million followers something they don't want?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Well, first off, they don't need help selling Optic either.
They don't
need help selling baseball anything. Product. Now NASCAR they probably could have sent some NASCAR to Mark Wahlberg and
his kids. It's gonna get there eventually.
Yeah, I mean that they can use, you know, a little marketing behind. I mean, I love it. I'd buy it. I think we should do breaks of NASCAR, but
yeah,
you know.
And me and Dan actually had a serious boardroom meeting. We got contacted by a movie star as well. So that'll be on next week's Hype
Little
Teaser.
Because of Breakers, the only kids that can open up packs are movie star kids.
That's because of us?
Because of Breakers?
Me? But I'm not.
It's your face only.
I'm not a movie star. I'm trying to be.
No, it says because of Breakers, only movie stars can afford it.
Oh, so we are the ones.
So we dictate the market price.
So we're dictating. So it's our fault the price.
We got the power. We got the juice.
Wait, how did you take time out of your day of counting your money to be on the show, Dan? That's what I want to know specifically. Like, we should be lucky that Dan's on the show. He could be counting his money right now.
That's what I was doing all day today. You know, we got to pay the same amount as everybody else is paying.
Yeah.
When the products go up, we're paying the market value. Now, we also have to hustle and get creative on how to sell this product and pay employees and pay the shipping department and keep the lights on and pay insane rents that we have to lease that is, I mean, we're in the Bay Area, so you can make an argument that we're in the third most expensive place in the country to run a business.
I think you should put that on social media. Really, like, come from the heart. I mean, you
was that from the heart?
Yeah,
that was just straight facts, bro.
You and Dickie could maybe bond over some warm hot cocoa, you know, by the fire on a hot day. But
I like little Dickie the rapper.
It's good, but Dickie DelBerto, he's speaking the word.
Did you guys watch? Getting off topic, but you guys watch his show on FX?
I've watched a few episodes. Have there been any new ones?
The season's over. Oh, okay, but it's a good show. It was a great show. But and Andrew Santino.
But back to Mark Wahlberg. My point is, yes, we all hope that we can have Chronicles given to us, but we all don't have 15 million followers. The Fyre Festival, if anybody's watched that Netflix documentary, Kylie Jenner got paid $250,000 for an Instagram post on Fyre Festival just for putting 40 words on a thing and taking a picture saying I'm going out to Fyre Festival, $250,000. Mark Wahlberg, I guarantee you, gets text or his agent gets texts and emails every day. Hey, Mark, we got this new energy drink we want you to promote. How much? We got these new shoes. Nike wants you out there to doing this program. The local business is paying money for appearances. I'm sure he turns down everything except for, you know, big movie star roles or whatever, or going on Kimmel or anything like that to get his brand out there. So basically, Panini gave them whoever, let's just say theoretically they gave him the boxes. We don't know that for sure. Let's say theoretically Panini gave him the boxes. They basically sent $700 worth of product. I don't know how much it cost them. Let's just say it was $700 for basically the equivalent of $150,000 of marketing dollars.
I get you. And getting back to, I'm not letting this go, but Breaker's dictating the market. That's absolutely incorrect. You know who's dictating the market? One, the consumer is dictating the market. Two, it's all the players that everybody's chasing. It's Zion's fault. It's Ja's fault. It's Luka's fault.
You should tell Zion that.
It's his fault.
Yeah, we should try. We should build a campaign and tell him.
If we have the product, are we supposed to sell it well below market value?
And we do a lot of times.
We do actually. For example, if you look at Topps Chrome PYTs and you go on a lot of websites that are selling PYT style breaks for jumbo cases, it's over $1,000 for the White Sox. Not to toot our own horn here, but Doug, you just put up on Monday night at around 11:30 p.m., you put up some PYT Topps Chrome.
I did.
And what did you sell the White Sox for, Doug?
$400. I hate money.
$400. I hate money. So you as a breaker, you left $600 on the table for that one team. They should throw you a parade. The community should throw you a parade.
No, because... I was just worried about you counting too much. It was taking too long for you to count the money.
Why are you getting back to me counting money? I don't.
Because you're the money guy.
I'm not the – I just make sure the bills are paid. I'm not the money guy.
Constitutes a money guy, let alone a bunch of mini money guys.
I'm not the what's the cartoon with the duck, DuckTales?
Scrooge when he's
– Is it Scrooge McDuck?
Where he's swimming in the money?
Yeah, that's not me. That's you, dude. That's not me at all.
But I try to combat that by offering great prices to our loyal followers or anybody that's on the internet at 11:30 at night on our website. And that's another thing. I actually post them at different times. I post breaks at midnight. I post breaks at 10 in the morning. I post breaks at 1 o'clock. No one in the world is notified. I don't care how much money you spend. No one is notified when breaks are put up. Doesn't happen. So first come, first serve. Always been since day one. And, you know, if you go on our site, you're going to be able to get deals early on pre-sale stuff. I can't tell you that the White Sox are going to continue to be that price. So, but those that bought in early, took a chance, bought it early, gave us money before the break, they're benefiting. So, and that's what we want.
That's $600 that I can't count now.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's always the fight that we have. You know, it's just like you're spending too much time counting the money. But I should probably stop talking about that. People are going to snip that and be like, this is what these guys are doing.
They're just counting money all day.
Just count money all day. So... but let's
not at all.
Perfect segue. We talk about shops not getting product. Mm-hmm. Panini was like, hey, we hear you. We hear your issue. We've got Illusions only available to card shops, which we have a card shop too, by the way. If you didn't think we don't, we do.
But we didn't get any.
We didn't get any. We moved and we had to turn in our paperwork, so we're gonna have to buy it on the secondary market. But anyways, direct to the shops. Panini Illusions basketball
today.
Came out today, kind of unannounced, coming out of nowhere. C-Rad, take over.
Yeah, I mean, I was made aware of this literally like less than 24 hours ago because one of our customers is like, hey, this is the next retail product. Because I was asking on the stream on Sunday, I was like, after Chronicles, what's the next retail product, y'all? Because, you know, like I wasn't really keeping up with the retail side of things. He hit me up on Instagram, was like, yeah, this is what's coming out. And I read it, I was like, hobby shops only, Walmart, interesting. I was like, I still wasn't sure where they were going to sell it. I was like, am I just going to show up to work tomorrow and there's just going to be a case there for me and I can rip it tomorrow? I don't know. Maybe we'll see. But it turns out, yeah, this is a direct Panini direct account, so hobby shops. And on the retail side of things, only Walmart will be carrying this product. So
Wally's World, baby.
Wally's World.
Now, and
which doesn't take cash, by the way.
When you say,
at least here in California.
When you say hobby shops, this wasn't a hobby shop only release. It's a hobby shop direct Panini account.
Direct Panini
account. So we have a hobby shop, but we we're not set up to be a hobby, like a Panini direct dealer. We don't, we deal with distributors.
By only because of a fault of our own, basically. Not that they said, no, we just got to fill out the paperwork. And we didn't. Sad.
Well, and we have cultivated and built relationships with our distributors that,
right.
And honestly, our allocation directly with Panini wouldn't be that great. Anyway.
No, I don't think it's great for most shops.
Most shops don't get a huge allocation from their direct accounts unless you're one of the big online retailers and you also have a shop and you're doing, you know, tons and tons of business and you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, not just hobby shops though, but getting back to it, and I'll let you handle it. I just want to reiterate, only direct accounts get it.
Mm.
And some images of the cards here in the next slide. You've got some rookie cards of John Morant and Zion Williamson here. But I wanted to hit on this point. So this is obviously the next thing is an eBay listing of a shop. Now, I don't know how many cases a shop would get. I wouldn't think any more than two. So for all those complaints about people at shops not having product, this shop is selling the case on eBay. So, and it just came out. So this isn't like it's been 3 weeks and this guy couldn't sell it. So this guy is not, and I don't know who this is, but this guy is basically not letting any of his walk-in customers. Now, I don't know because of COVID or whatever. Maybe he's not open, but he's not letting any of his customers buy it by putting it on eBay. So the Dickie Delbertos of the world and these guys on Twitter that are complaining about their shops not having product, well, they're selling this stuff on eBay. And they're not giving their product, their customers a shot at it.
Yeah, they're not selling it for, I mean, map on this product is probably about $120.
I would guess, yeah.
So they're not giving, and we go all back to the shops. Shops this, shops that, shops this. Shops are what are the lifeblood of the hobby, and it's a shame that they're not getting the correct allocation, and my shop is getting priced out and all this. This shop right here is trying to make about a $10,000 profit.
Yeah.
Now, and they're not giving their customers a shot at it. Like you're saying, we don't have a chance to break it. So I could turn the whole argument saying, well, the shops are just greedy and they're not allowing breakers to make money.
Yeah, you could.
I did.
You did.
I just did. What about me?
I know. I mean, poor you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fair.
It's not fair. It's my quarterback.
But I mean, and maybe, I mean, there could be the other side of the coin that because the market, I mean, I think I looked on B2B earlier today, which is our there's a dealer network of people that sell cases amongst other dealers. And it was already on the wholesale as somebody was already willing to pay wholesale $700 a box. So, you know, maybe some shops are like, I don't have the clientele for that. I don't know, but you're not even trying at this point, right? You're not even like offering it to your good customers. So, and that's another thing. I mean, we don't want any praise. I'm not looking for praise, never have, but we could sell our product without having to ship and sort it 30 different ways. We could sell it for more than we take in by breaking it for you guys. So, like I said, I don't want any pat on the back. I don't even want you guys to say thanks. Our business model is to do breaks. So we have to sell it that way. If we took this and took this approach and sold it on eBay, nobody's seeing any content. Nobody's getting breaks. Then slowly but surely, we're going to lose customers to whoever's going to be breaking the hot product. So a lot of times our side of things, we're not even getting anywhere close to what Blowout has it posted at or anywhere close to what eBay is selling it at. I mean, don't feel bad for us. It's a great market, but I'm just saying, if we could take the easy route, we could take the whole month off and so sell all of our Chronicles, all of our Elite, all of everything that we've got for a much higher mark and just kick it on a beach somewhere or drink some brews and make more money. But, you know, that's not part of the hobby. We're not opening the packs. We're not living it every day. We're not enjoying you guys in the chat. We're not, you know, somebody's hitting a Zion or somebody hit the four John Morants. That wouldn't happen if we just took it and sold it at a high price and walked away from it. And there's, honestly, there's a lot of breakers out there that do that. They get this in and they're like, I could make $6,000 by taking this case and put an eBay label on it and sending it out. I could do that very easily.
No, and getting back to the shop that's selling it for $13,000, and you're probably looking at me and saying, Dan, why are you being so mean to the hobby shop owners? Well, us as group breakers who've been doing this for a long time, every event for years and years and years and years, we would basically get kicked around by hobby shops. There would be open conversations with Panini and Topps and Upper Deck that, like, group breakers are the reason why they're going out of business. And you got to do something to stop these group breakers from going live and ripping product. And these group breakers are terrible for the hobby. Like, how many times have you sat in a meeting, Doug, and all eyes are on you, and they're just like, this guy right here. This guy is ruining my business. I've had it happen. If I see this, I'm absolutely going to call them out. Because if we had illusions, we wouldn't be taking in $13,000.
No.
And we would be doing 10 times the work and paying 5 employees, 6 employees to go through and ship everything.
Right. Right.
So, hey, if I see this, I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of great shop owners. Believe me, there's a lot of people that get it. There's a lot of shop owners, especially during the pandemic, that transition into breaks. You got to think about it. If you live in a city, you only have, and you're only doing in store, you have a limited amount of customer base doing breaks, doing Amazon, whatever you need to do. You open up your customer base. You could also very easily have a shop do breaks, have that person come in or do curbside to pick up his cards from the break. Then you can also sell him a box while he's there. There's many avenues to do it.
I'll tell you right now, and this release, I would say 35% of the product run will somehow go through breakers' hands. And we're basically all going to pay pretty much market value on it.
Yeah, and that's the sad part.
So basically, this was just made so hobby shops could essentially turn into sub-distributors.
Yep.
Because they're not going to be able to move it, and they should sell it at market value. Don't leave any money on the table. But I want the manufacturer to understand this is what's actually happening.
Yes, and that's a great point. The sad thing is whoever we're going to basically have to buy. I offered a shop $7,500 to buy a case. He said he'll get back to me. So basically, at the end of the day, because we have to pay more now to get it, you guys are going to have to pay more to get in these breaks. Which,
well, wait, then it's our fault, right? As breakers, that's why the market price is so high.
In this regard, possibly, you know, but the shop could easily try to sell it, make an easy markup instead of just trying to sell it. So now it's gone through three hands.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, if they put those boxes out at $200 and they did curbside, they would have a line of cars out there just waiting. Because honestly, they're selling a sellable. Those people who buy it for $200 are absolutely going to go put it on eBay for $1,000.
Yes.
So that's not good business from the shop standpoint.
Right.
But if you want to sit there and talk about giving your customers a great deal, well, I guess that means making 800% profit on what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it is capitalism. You don't obviously want to. You're right. And that's why if you see on our website when we're doing personals and they're lower, it's ripped only because we don't want somebody to buy it and then charge more for somebody else. So, you know, like we were doing Elite, you know, I'm sure other guys are scoffing. I think we were doing Elite at $279. Well, they got $349, $319 on other retailers' websites, but we're only ripping it. So somebody can't resell it, make $40-$50 a box on it. It has to be ripped live. So it's not for the flippers. It's for the people that want to break products. So, I mean, we're comfortable with the markup at $279 on personal boxes, and we're comfortable ripping it for you guys. So we know somebody's not going to resell it. Obviously, you're going to resell your singles if you hit big, but, you know, we had breakers hit us up. Oh, I want to get a case at this price. Well, yeah, you do because you want to raise the price to sell it to your customers.
Yeah, I mean, I would say we get people through the website weekly who we know what we're pricing stuff up at. For personal rips. We know it's below market value. We understand this. I understand that if you were to get this ship sealed, you can flip it and you can make money. We get people hitting us up every single week saying, I want to buy what you guys have on the website. I need it ship sealed.
So wait, we sell stuff underneath what the market is?
Absolutely.
Every week?
Yeah.
But
every day.
But today we are. The market price.
We are today. What's your first break? Goodwin Champions?
Yeah.
Under market value. Under market value.
Yeah, wholesale, I think, is like 140 a box on
What's your second break? A little mixer of Luminance and Elite? Yeah. Under market value.
$29 a spot?
I'm over here now.
Oh, man.
Well, we're getting short on time. We're getting short on time, and C-Ride has some amazing bubble information. We'll go through these images of Illusion. Sorry, there's too many procs we're talking about. So you got the shining stars here of Luca. We're going to show here on the screen. And then we've got some more box sales of Illusions at $8.99.
And $900 a box.
$900 a box. Mm-hmm. And find one autograph, which is, that's crazy, right? Ooh, so
I mean, Chronicles, you got at least two for $900 last week. But
actually, then I think, and that's Illusions. It just came out, right?
Yes.
I think I was off with it being $90. I think it's, I want to say it's probably a 70.
Yeah, because 70, it's only one auto.
It's between $70 and $80 wholesale.
Well,
wholesale.
We'll see. We don't know for sure.
Probably 100 retail, if I have to guess. 110 maybe.
Maybe 90,
95. Yeah.
And you're probably going to get a lot of vet autos, but they do have the first impression patch autos, as you can see with the Kobe White here. Mm-hmm. So anyways, see if you can find it. See if you can jump in a break. We're working on trying to get some.
You're right, Ron. And Chronicles. Under market value.
Yep. Under market value.
Way under market for our random today. Way. But anyways, transitioning from that, I wanted to kind of like update you guys a little bit on the bubble, what's been happening, and what's been happening in the hobby in general is really interesting, because nowadays with the market that we're in with basketball, you know, we see guys having one game, literally one game, the bubble effect, we talked about it last week, and then their card prices literally doubling up after that one game, where previous years, you know, like it would take guys at least a consistent couple of weeks of good games for their prices to really make a significant leap. But nowadays, you're like, this is really like the stock market that we're in with basketball cards. You know, part of it is like what you were saying, Doug, what we talked about it off air, where it's like people are so excited about basketball being in sports coming back. But a couple guys I want to highlight. First of all, DeAndre Ayton, his first game back in the bubble was I think he had like 24 points, 12 rebounds. People were really excited about him. You know, there was a lot of quick flips on him the day after his Silver Prisms. You can see in the next slide, going for about like almost $600, $550, $600 now. So he was one guy that went
up. That is a Shelstein listing, so it's probably about $450.
And you know, there are a lot of people in the community who really still have a lot of believe in his potential and his ceiling. You know, we always talk about how centers, they might not necessarily be able to sell as well, but there are people collecting him that were collecting him before his little, blow up in the bubble.
What was he? Was he the second pick?
First overall.
That's right.
First overall last year. And so, yeah, and then moving on from him, we have obviously a guy from the 14-15 rookie class, TJ Warren, who's now on the Indiana Pacers. He had a 53-point game. And actually, the last three games, he's been over 30 points, or at least 30 points. So he's been a consistent scorer now. And, it's pretty amazing to think, like, I mean, if you had cards from 14-15, like, you know, 14-15 is when I got back in the hobby really heavy. I thought I had a bunch of TJ Warrens, but I'm thinking back now, I probably threw a majority of them out, to be honest.
Would you say that he would be considered the greatest Pacer of all time?
I think... at this point, easily the greatest pacer of all time.
I mean, I figured.
Yeah.
I figured.
I mean, you score 50 and then 33 times in a row.
I mean, yeah, they should pretty much.
Greatest pacer of all time?
Greatest pacer of all time. I agree with Conrad. Greatest pacer of all time.
In his son's uni, though.
But yeah, you got a lot of his base cards going for 365. You know, people are buying base cards in bulk now and getting them graded. Yeah, those are just regular base.
So what does that break down per who's a math genius here? What's 365 divided by 12? How much is each individual one going for there? That is what, about $30?
That's 30 like bucks, yeah, 35-ish.
That's a lot.
And then you got a silver sell of him for 120. That's a raw silver.
Dude, that is the, not to stop your flow, but
I know exactly. I was just about to say,
that is the worst prism design yet.
Dude.
I know it's the Embiid as well and the Wiggins, but
is there one off year?
Yeah.
You know, they were I think for the 14-15 classes, that's when I got back into the cop, like I was saying, I got back in the hobby really heavy for 14-15. I feel like that whole year they were really trying to like kind of like what they're doing with Zion this year and with the Wiggins and Jabari Parker, I think they were like trying to really go for different designs that year.
Yeah, it was wild. Because they even had like the draft thing in the background and some of the parallels and stuff. So
there's a lot of stuff from 14-15 that did not stick in the hobby at all. But last guy I want to talk about is Doug's boy, Michael Porter Jr. 37 points yesterday or 2 days ago, 12 rebounds. And today he had a really stellar game as well. I think he had 20-something with more, like double-digit rebounds as well. So looking like he's going to – with more playing time with – what's his name being out for them. Yeah, it looks like he might be actually pretty good.
What are your thoughts on two good games for him? I mean, he basically was in the cellar with his comments about masks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now I don't know if that provided him some motivation or what the deal was.
But I think the opportunity just presented itself to him with a key, you know, guy being out for them at the starter. I forgot who it is. I think it's Gary Harris that's out right now. Mm-hmm. So, it you know, guys who get the opportunity, some guys flourish. So he's one of those guys. I actually was one of the ones on his believing that he would be pretty good like last year. You know, when we talked about it last year. One of the sleeper picks last summer, we were talking about sleepers. Yeah, so it's kind of cool to see him like
back to back, yep,
playing
and
well.
As an update, the Nuggets won and back to back 30-point games for Michael Porter, finished with 30 and 15 rebounds and 11 defensive rebounds. So all I'm saying is I've been saying this for 2 years that he's the face of the Nuggets and everybody should invest. I do have a Mojo Prism up on our eBay right now. We're fielding offers. Been sitting on a lot of Michael Porter, so
Doug will take $35.
I'm gonna get that offer now, but it's a pop nine on it. Believe it or not, there's only 25 of them made, but population of 9 for the Mojo Prism number to 25 of Michael Porter Jr. So nice. Any offers
just,
that look at least look
just
at.
Come in here and pimp out your eBay listing. Yeah. I mean, that is like
last fall.
Is weak sauce.
Last fall, I had the idea of buying a bunch of silver MPJs. I just didn't get around to it. I wish I did now. You know,
I got a Galactic
because they doubled up.
Like, I got recently. A Galactic 9.5. I have the Mojo. I have the silver, and I have a flawless number.
And
five.
We had. I know that we had a RPA, National Treasures RPA, floating around. I don't know where it's at, but we had one. It may have gone into a buyback.
Yeah.
But okay. we definitely had one.
Yep. So,
but throw those offers into Doug. I mean, I don't know if any reasonable offer will be refused.
There might even
$15, $22, like go for it.
Well,
like,
I'm going to send the eBay to you then.
I'm already doing it anyway. You said it to me. I'll be like, accept. And I'm all, this guy ain't Bobo.
At the right price, we might even be able to include a Sean Mannion card in there for you. I'm not saying which one, but there may be a Sean Mannion. Maybe an RPA. I mean, the second stringer on the Vikings, ready to take Kirk's job. You could have double investment. You could have the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Porter Jr. Could have the next up-and-coming greatest quarterback of all time in Sean Mannion.
And that's a conversation that you do not want to have on eBay. I have gone back and forth. I was doing a little trolling. I think I need a segment as well.
Jump in there. You don't have a Twitter, though.
But I want to call it.
Get off your MySpace.
I want to call it Rolling with Dan, not Trolling with Dan.
Rolling with Dan?
Rolling with Dan.
But
just a picture of me with like a Limp Bizkit hat.
Yeah, we actually have some $200,000 Sean Mannions up on eBay. And if anybody's wondering, those are not serious. I mean, it's great advertisement for the show. A lot of them are subtitled The Hype. It was a joke. I think it was like, 20 or 30 episodes ago we did that. And they're still up there. We're still paying the monthly turnaround fee to just have them posted up there. You know, he's the greatest beaver of all time. Why not just put like something to talk about? And there's some people that are really trying to argue.
Yeah, I mean, I got into an argument and it was over the weekend. And somebody was like, what are you doing? Do you think he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes? Like, you do realize that he was a rookie in 2015. And he was just like, I mean, he was just hammering Sean, just going at, like, just saying they called him a third stringer. I had to respond. And I do know it was 2015 and he does have a lot of upside, but he's a second stringer. He's just a backup to Kirk Cousins. He ain't a third string. I mean, give the guy a little bit of credit.
He was trying to go in on you, though.
I stopped. I was like, I can't. I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
Made him really angry. But that's all we have for the show today, guys. We've got some, I think, good one coming up next. Some good one coming up next.
Under market value.
Under market value. I pulled a Fanimation the other day, LeBron, yesterday.
What?
It was a Fanimation.
I think it's like $1 million.
And a Megan Rapinoe RPA, yesterday's personal.
Who knows what that LeBron James card goes for?
And it was, but it was him in number six. It was weird. This was like the heat photo. But hey, obviously with no logos.
People collect that, you know.
Yeah. But anyways, all right, guys. Thanks again. Make sure you subscribe here at Mojo Break Media. If you're watching live on the Mojo Break regular channel, go over to Mojo Break Media. Make sure you subscribe. We're also going to be running. I don't think it's been posted yet. Our great marketing team has got a big, big LeBron James giveaway. So look for that on our Instagram. It's like a bunch of like LeBron James first Laker cards, like a whole like thingamit. So check it out. I'm just giving you a teaser. But it's going to be involved with you subscribing to our Mojo Break Media channel. And once again, we've got Topps Chrome on Friday. We got PYTs. We've got Randoms. We've got Jumbo. We've got Hobby. And then we have Gold Standard. We're also getting some Gold Standard first off the line in. So we may do like a little 3-3, you know, type thing going on with that. So check that out. So it's going to be a big Friday in the hobby. We got Luminaries tonight, I think, which is getting almost sold out or getting there. So new stuff. And we're live every day. So check it out at mojobreak.com. And we are out for the hype. Peace.
Peace, guys.